thought you said you were starting. Hi, welcome. This is a new podcast. This is how we got it.
Oh, I thought you were going to free it. I was saying, yes, I'm down with us doing it.
Oh, okay.
Not with me doing it.
Oh, I can start it and we can just...
We can try it.
Hello. My name is Melissa and I'm here with my sister...
Melanie.
And we're launching a brand new podcast that we were calling Underreported for the time being. We think that's what we're going to go with. And listen, this is the deal. More than me, my sister is an absolute crime-aholic. She is obsessed with all things crime. She listens to all the podcasts.
Yes.
She then reads all of the reports.
Yes.
She stresses herself out at night looking up things in her neighborhood. How did this happen, actually? Where did your actual obsession, because that's what I'm going to call it, come from?
Obsession is probably fair. I don't know where I became or why I became obsessed with crime, but I definitely am. And ID, all the channels, it's a thing.
No,
it's a thing.
It's 100% a thing. And so what we've decided to do is jointly do a podcast.
About crime!
And more specifically?
Crimes against Black women. Because if you don't know, crimes against Black women are 4 times less likely to be covered in the media. And so we are going to be covering Black women, Black girls, crimes from everywhere, anywhere, and reporting them. We're calling ourselves Report Hers.
You get it? H-E-R-S. Who created that name?
Greg, actually. Shout out to...
So shout out to Greg Goosby,
yes.
Her husband. Don't be in them comments acting funny, okay?
Don't do
it. All right. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go into our very first one, and this one is actually a little bit personal for us because it's a crime that was committed while we were living in Washington State. And Mel's going to tell y'all about this story.
Yes.
All right.
Here we go.
All right.
Okay. So for those that don't know, as Melissa was just saying, we grew up is loose. We spent a lot of time, a lot of our formative years in Washington State. I don't claim it as home, but we spent a lot of time there. And when we moved there, like less than 6 months there was this story, this case about a girl who had gone missing, and it was all over the news for a long time. It's one that I'd venture to say that anyone that lived in Washington around that time has never forgotten. And when we decided to do a podcast, we knew for sure we had to include this story because it's one, you know, that we also haven't forgotten. So it's a story about a 2-year-old girl that went bowling on a Saturday night with her family, her mom, her sisters, cousins, aunties, and uncles. But by the end of the night, that family's life would forever be changed. So today we are covering the story of 2-year-old Tika Lewis, a girl that's been missing for 22 years.
It's January 23rd, 1999. Everyone around the world and around the country are settling into the new year. 2-year-old Tika Lewis and over a dozen of her family members are preparing to head to the New Frontier Lanes in Tacoma, Washington. And for context, Tacoma, which is in Washington State.
Not DC.
Uh-huh. And Tacoma is about 35 miles from Seattle. So it's not in the city, but it definitely is its own city. And it has its own kind of hustle to it, its own kind of feel, own vibe to it. So like I said, it's a Saturday night, and Tika Lewis and her mom, Teresa English, and a bunch of their family are all headed to the bowling alley. It's a Saturday night, we're going bowling with the family, and because there's so many of the family members, they need 2 lanes. So they grab lane 7 and lane 8.
Okay, lane 7 and 8, so how many lanes exactly are in this bowling alley?
So in this particular bowling alley, New Frontier, there are 32 lanes.
Okay, so they're generally in the upper third, the beginning, closer to the door.
Yes, yes. Or closer to wherever number one is. They're in the beginning.
Yes, assuming you're right. Assuming number one is at the door.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so it's a busy Saturday night, which most bowling alleys, I would assume, are. But it's particularly busy this night because it's league night. And league night is the night when people who are part of bowling leagues come to compete. And so this bowling alley, because it has 32 lanes, has reserved a certain number of bowling lanes for the leagues, for the league players. So there are those people,
mm-hmm.
and then there are just regular patrons who are there to bowl, Tika and her family being some of those folks.
Okay.
The other thing to note about this particular bowling alley is that it is, it has a restaurant.
Okay.
And usually in bowling alleys, when there's restaurants, people are being called over loudspeakers to come get their food. This bowling alley also has an arcade. So now you have bowling lanes. Some of those are league. They're loud. Then you have regular patrons on the other side. They're loud. Then you have somebody on the main speaker calling people to get their food. They're loud. Then you have an arcade probably filled with a bunch of kids. They're definitely loud.
100%.
So it's just all around
madness. And bowling alleys are never not madness.
Which is typically fun.
Totally normal.
At a bowling alley. So around 10 to 10:15 that night, Teresa, who again is Tika's mom, sees Tika sitting at a chair for a car racing game in the arcade. And remember, again, she's 2 years old, so she's probably not even really playing. She's just doing the steering wheel. Teresa is standing at a counter that separates the bowling lanes from the restaurant and the arcade of the bowling alley. And so let me just show you quickly what I mean by that. So this is the picture of New Frontier Bowling Alley.
Okay.
And you can see in front of this here, this is the counter. In front here are bowling lanes. There's a sign here that says arcade. And let's just imagine that the restaurant is behind this picture. So Teresa has positioned herself to watch her daughter.
Yes.
And bowling.
Okay. And y'all know how it is. When you're at a bowling alley, your head is on a literal swivel.
Especially if you're a mama.
Especially if you're, because the kids are never all doing the same thing.
So what happens for Teresa is her eyes are taken off of Tika.
Oh.
What's unclear is if Teresa has, it's her turn to bowl, or if she's watching someone else bowl. That part's unclear, but what is clear is that for about 15-ish minutes, her eyes were off of Tika.
Ooh, that's a long time.
And what happens in those 15 minutes, she, I'm sure, regrets to this day. Her eyes are off. She turns around after about 15-ish minutes and sees that Tika is no longer sitting at the racing car game that she was previously at. So she goes into the arcade and she's looking around and she's checking all the games and she's trying to find her daughter, but she can't find her. So she's like, okay, I checked the entire arcade game. Let me check the bathroom. So she goes to the bathroom and her cousin actually is in the bathroom changing one of the baby's diapers. So she's like, hey, have you seen Tika? We've been looking, not in the arcade, not between the games, underneath the games. I've been looking, she's not there.
Right.
And cousin is like, nope, she's not here. Hasn't been in the bathroom. So now Teresa is heartbeats increasing, hands are getting sweaty, and she's really freaking out. Like,
she's
where
in
full-on
panic mode.
Where is my child?
Yes.
So by 10:35, so this is 20-ish minutes after she had initially taken her eyes off of her daughter. The family has alerted the bowling alley employees that 2-year-old Tika is missing. So they make an announcement over the loudspeaker that there was a girl who was wearing a green Tweety Bird t-shirt with sweatpants and black and white Air Jordans that's missing. And so they tell the people in the bowling alley, stop what you're doing, help us find this girl. So everybody's looking in their area, they're checking under their tables. A few of the patrons even go to the parking lot. Everybody's trying to find where Tika is. And they can't. No one is successful in locating 2-year-old Tika. While this is happening, an off-duty police officer who also happens to be a bowling alley employee calls the police to report Tika as a missing person. And within minutes, the police have arrived. Police arrive with tracking dogs to search for Tika's scent, but they turn up nothing. So police then set up a roadblock to secure the area around the bowling alley for approximately 24 hours. So they are like full on set up. Let's find this little girl. But again, to no avail. So the panic just continues to increase. Police begin searching the homes of sex offenders in the area, but still there's nothing.
So I have to ask this question, because typically kidnapping is done by family members and very specifically parents.
Yes.
And so we've talked about mama.
Yes.
Where's daddy?
Yes. His location is pretty confirmed. And that is because her father, Robert Lewis, was in jail. He had been sentenced to 4 years in jail when Tika was really young. So he wasn't even out when this incident happened. And he wasn't released until 2001, which is about 18 months after Tika disappeared. So he definitely was not questioned.
Okay.
No way he was the one. So with the father and the mother cleared, police are interviewing patrons and employees at the bowling alley to see if they can get any kind of information. One bowling alley employee reported seeing a car, possibly a late 80s or early 90s model, maroon or purple, Pontiac Grand Am, racing out of the parking lot around 10:30 that night.
So that sounds like that's timelines aligning a little tiny bit.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you remember, she takes her eyes off of Tika around 10 to 10:15.
Right, and it was a 15-minute gap.
And it's not until 10:30-ish that she's back in the arcade looking for her.
Got it. Yeah.
And at that point, somebody is reporting the car there is a car speeding out of the parking lot. So here is where things get a little bit crazy. According to the Charlie Project, 2 months before Tika's disappearance, so that's November of 1998, a four-year-old boy was sexually molested in the bathroom at the exact same bowling alley.
Oh my God. Well, how is this guy, no one's recognizing him through the door? How is he getting in to grab these kids?
So the thing that's really interesting, particularly about Tika and the video game she was playing, or she was sitting at, the car racing game she was sitting at, is that it was positioned right near an exit door. So full speculation, but you could assume that that may have been used for him to either exit or enter
bowling alley. I'm wondering, because those normally have an alarm on them, so either he's familiar with them or it's an old building and it actually doesn't have the alarm.
Well, the thing also worth noting, and again, this is all, you know, speculation, but if there was a boy 4 months prior who was molested in the exact same bathroom at the exact same location, you would imagine this guy has been there before.
Maybe
he's pretty familiar with the makeup and the format of this bowling alley. And so it gets a little even crazier. So the guy in that situation who molested this boy was never caught. But he was described as a white male, medium build, about 30 to 40 years old, with long shoulder-length scraggly or curly brown hair. He had a large nose, a mustache, and pockmarks on his face.
Pockmarks are...
And so, good question. Pockmarks are deep scars on the skin that don't go away on their own. So they're not just like what happens when you get acne and it goes away, but they're actually like those deep marks that are in your skin. So the guy was described as having those on his face. And two security guards believed that they'd seen him at the bowling alley before, but they didn't know his name. A few weeks after that incident, so December of 1998, a man with the exact same description was accused of trying to lure a six-year-old child again out of the exact same bowling alley by claiming he was the boy's father. The thing about this situation is that he wasn't successful. Bowling employees didn't believe that he was the father. And so in questioning him or stopping him or whatever was done, I couldn't, in all of my research, I couldn't figure out what they did, but they were able to basically prevent him from taking the child. And whenever that kind of situation transpired, the guy promptly left the bowling alley, and it does not appear that a police report was made for that either.
That's too bad.
So here we go again, right? So now it's, you know, a boy who was in the bathroom, bowling alley. A few weeks later, another kid, you know, trying to be taken out, but just happened to be stopped. Both of these situations have the same description of a guy. So fast forward a few weeks later, it's the same day as Tika's disappearance, January 23rd, but it's just a few hours before she actually went missing.
Oh, on the same day?
On the same day. So a man with the same description that I noted before, 30 to 40 years old, scraggly hair, pockmarks on his face. He's seen at a park less than a mile away from the bowling alley, attempting to take two young children and lure them into the bathroom there. The boy's father the boy's father, the boy's father, chased the man away, and he fled the scene, and he left in a dark blue 1995 Pontiac Grand Am.
Okay, so same car.
Same car.
And clearly, this guy was out looking for a victim.
Yes.
Until he found Tika, and this is the reason.
Yes. Well, see, and the thing is, at this point, we don't know if anybody has a visual of the person who may have taken Tika. These are just incidents of children in around the area, except for the car. The car is what was seen leaving Tika's bowling alley the night of Tika's incident. But physical appearance of the guy hasn't been noted yet. But you have this guy.
There's a lot of circumstantial evidence.
Exactly. So what happened for the last story, which again happened on the same day as Tika's disappearance, the father of those boys sees, like you and I saw, Tika's story hit the news. So 3 days after the incident happened, the father of those boys called the police to report what happened with his children. Mm-hmm. So again, very circumstantial, but would make you say, was there a guy, a serial kidnapper?
Absolutely.
In the area?
Yes.
Are there clues here that could help solve this 22-year-old case of a missing child?
100%.
No arrests in any of the cases were ever made. Here we are 20-plus years later, and last December, so December of 2020, Tika's case was reopened, and police released the witness statement of a man who was a patron of New Frontier Bowling Alley on the night that Tika disappeared. And again, just to reiterate, we've just said it, but the car from the night of Tika's
disappearance is the only connecting thing
at this point. So the man, who was 17 years old at the time, had gone bowling with his family that night. And so he describes going to the restroom and bumping into a man pretty hard on his way to the restroom. The man was about 5'11", with long, brown, curly hair, and had pockmarks on his face. The witness said he thought it was simply a man taking his daughter to the restroom, but the reason the story stuck with him was the fact that the man didn't apologize and instead hurried off without saying a word, which he thought was pretty rude.
The thing is, though, pockmarks are going, they're not common.
They're not common.
Yeah, it's always going to be, it's like a tattoo. It's a very, like, indication of, like, oh, I remember you because of this.
If you had to, it's a very clear descriptor.
Absolutely.
That you wouldn't forget.
Right.
Well, the thing that makes this frustrating, mm-hmm. and probably even more of a reason why 20 plus years later he hasn't forgotten, is because when this guy, who was 17 at the time, saw Tika's story on the news the next day, he remembered that he saw that girl with the guy who bumped into him. So what did he do?
Call the police.
He called the police.
Of course he did.
What did the police do?
Nothing.
Never contacted him back.
Of course.
So 20 plus years later, they're like, by the way, there was a guy who said,
oh my gosh,
he saw a man. And it just so happens that this man's description matches to the T,
the guy,
the same description of the other attempted abductions.
Frustrating indeed.
Is this a story that could have been solved 20 years ago?
Oh my gosh. That's one of those thoughts you don't want to dwell on too long because it is frustrating. And then you get sad for the family, for the mother, for the father, who have the unfinished love
100%.
Of their daughter.
Yeah.
Without closure.
Yeah. I heard someone say grief is love with nowhere to go. And can you imagine that grief being for your child?
That's too bad. That's really sad.
So the case was reopened last December, but over the course of these 20 years, there have been a few instances of people either thinking they are Tika, possibly.
Oh, wow.
Or people thinking maybe they found a body that's Tika's, mm-hmm. or different things have come up. There was a psychic in 2010 who claimed that she had a vision that Tika was buried in a specific part of Point Defiance Park, which we know well, which is in Tacoma. The park was excavated and nothing was found. There were another sex offender who had abducted kids in the area, so they thought maybe it was him, but police were able to rule him out. The bowling alley New Frontier Lanes has since been torn down.
Oh, wow.
And that was even checked when it was torn down to see if her body was there, if there was any remains or clues or anything there. Nothing. So here we are 22 years later, and Tika's family is still left wondering what happened to her. Who took her from that bowling alley? We went bowling for a family night, and what a tragedy. So they hold a candlelight vigil for her every single year, praying for her safe return. And her sister recently posted a GoFundMe because they are trying to raise money for a private investigator see if they can find her. And not to even further speculation, but there's just so many questions that I have, because if this person was determined steal a child, mm-hmm. to abduct a child, you'd only imagine that it was purposeful.
Absolutely.
Was there a goal behind it?
He was determined to take a child. Yeah. If it is the same person, which it sounds like it is, that did it all those weeks leading up to Tika's disappearance,
yeah.
there was a motivating factor to right. the end of taking someone.
100%. And I can't even imagine
how deranged you must be.
Yeah. And what that factor was, mm-hmm. what they were trying to accomplish. It just unfortunately happened to be accomplished with 2-year-old Tika Lewis. So the case has been reopened as of last year. Just some descriptors about Tika. Because her body has never been found, so there's always a chance that she could be alive. And so just for anyone who's listening to know, Tika is described as having a large birthmark on her left buttock and red natural highlights in her hair. She has patches of light discoloration on her face and on the left side of her buttocks as the result of eczema. She has facial dimples and pierced ears. She would be, at the time she was 2 years old, it's been about 22 years, so she would be about 24 years old at this point. Wow. You can Google her name and you can see those, the progression photos yes. of what she could potentially look like today. If you or anyone you know has information about this case, reach out to Tacoma Police Department at 253-798-4721 or the Federal Bureau of Investigation at 202-324-3000 or call the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-THE-LOST.
I really hope that should you happen to have any information, and as our goal here and mission here with this podcast is to bring highlight mm-hmm. those underreported cases to bring closure where closure is necessary. And this is one of those cases that is obviously unresolved and still open. So if you happen to hear or know of anything, please check the notes in the description box or in the comment section of the podcast notes, and you'll see all of those contact information. So hopefully we can help bring Tika Lewis home or bring closure to that yeah. family, however that may look. That would be ultimately the goal of this podcast.
100%.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today and learning more about the story of Tika Lewis. Again, if you have any additional information, please make sure that you reach out to those numbers down below, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you.
Bye.